Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Joining Patreon.com/TMS is easy. Just ask Edgar Barrera, Luke Jenkin, and Eric Astrup. If they did it, so can you. At patreon.com/TMS today. Coming up on the morning stream, Where the Ruffalo Butt Roams.
50 Shades of Kimchi.
The Grandmother Death Stare.
Bad weather, perfect storm.
You get no sleep, no Oscars, and no Lieutenant Yar.
Rock'em Sock'em Cena.
Flying wieners are the worst.
Lil Brian's Great Booby Adventure.
The Jersey Shire.
Pocket Chocolate.
Not the Hilton you're looking for.
Kimchi Zero.
Peeny Pasty.
I don't like coffee.
But do you like the schmooze?
It's full of goo.
It's Scott and Brian from the internet with TV's Travis and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's my mom, you half-wit. And she's a lot prettier than your girlfriend.
She grabbed my hairy business.
The Morning Stream. That's the bravest thing I've ever seen a vegetable do.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for March 12th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Welcome back, Brian.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Thanks for welcoming me back with open arms. And yeah. Thanks again to Bobby for covering yesterday.
Yeah, here I am with open arms. How's the rest of that song go? Here I am with open arms.
I believe what I say. All I know is that it's playing in that scene in the movie Heavy Metal when the taxi driver is getting it on cartoon-wise with the lady, the redheaded lady you picked up.
Oh, right. It is happening in there. Yeah. I always forget that until I see it, and then I go, what a weird song to put in the middle of your
thing. It really is. Yeah,
exactly. Your futuristic Blade Runner bullshit.
It was 8-year-old Brian seeing animated boobs on a big screen for the first time ever. And
with your uncle? Who was it? Your uncle? Your dad? Who was it?
Yeah, my uncle. My uncle took me. Yeah.
That's right. We're going to meet him in Vegas.
You are? Yeah.
I'm going to ask
George
him.
And
I'm going to say, George, how you feel about taking an underage kid to see a cartoon dude? He's going to go, well.
Listen, my grandparents beat him to it as far as the taking the kid to a nudie show because they took me to Vegas, I think the year before, and got the two Hiltons confused. The Hilton they thought we were going to had Doug Henning and Bill Cosby. The Hilton we ended up going to had the topless review.
Oh, oops.
and when no magic was happening or comedy on stage and a bunch of ladies in their all together, and at least the top half of their all togethers came out with their feathered headdresses and their nothing much else. Mm-hmm. My grandmother gave my grandfather a look that I will never forget to this day.
I'll bet that look will burn into you. It'll stay.
That look. Yeah. Boy.
Good Lord. Well done, Grandpa. Yeah. That's awesome. So how was the airport trip? Sounds like it was pretty late. And also, why does a midnight flight get delayed like that? Because usually it's your overnight flights that stay close to their locked times.
Well, it can and it can't. Like, I look at it as like, you know how the doctor's office, you know, if you get first appointment in the morning, the doctor's probably going to be on time.
Yeah.
The later in the day it gets, because, oh, well, this thing took longer, or this other thing took longer. And that's it a just good kind point. Of snowballs.
Yeah, kind yeah. of cascades at the end of the day. That's a good point.
And I really think that was the case with this, is that it was, you know, machinery wasn't available. The plane equipment wasn't available, basically.
Yeah.
Or some pilot or something like that they were waiting on from another flight. But yeah, originally it was supposed to be midnight, which was already going to suck.
Yeah. It's already not great.
Especially when we got, you know, the Oscars, and they end an hour early. So it's not like I can say, oh, well, this will be great. We'll just go to, we'll go to the friend's house, watch the Oscars, and then I'll drop you off at home, and then I'll go pick up my mom. No, it's like,
yeah.
I've got 5 hours to kill between the Oscars and the airport. And once I saw that it was 2 hours late and coming in at 2:30, 2:15, I said, all right, well, you know what? I'll come home. It'll be about 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I will get some sleep. I'll wake up at 1:20.
Yeah.
1:30, and then head to the airport and pick her up. So that's exactly what I did. Went to sleep, fell asleep pretty quickly. I'm watching Tron Uprising.
I watched it again as well, like a couple of weeks ago. It's funny.
I'm sorry, not Tron Uprising. Tron Uprising.
No, Tron Legacy. Tron Legacy. Oh,
the TV show.
The cartoon.
Show,
the weird shaped cartoon people
the
show.
Weird, exactly. The cartoon where we only know how to draw one body type. And yeah. So we're making everybody have a different weird face, but the same body.
Yeah, that is a very odd style in that cartoon.
But it has a very Aeon Flux kind of animation to it, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
But it does help me sleep. It's like I watch a little bit of that, and it's like Elijah Wood and Paul Rubens and Mandy Moore talking. It's like, okay, this is...
Yeah, they can put you to sleep. Sure. I like that cartoon a lot, though. I wish it would have gone on. I wish they'd have kept going.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever.
Maybe it would have gotten... I mean, it's good so far. It's not great, but it's very... It's tropey and predictable, but it looks beautiful. It's a very sharp-looking cartoon.
Yeah.
So, so I go to sleep. I wake up at 1:30 as the plan. I go to the bathroom. I get my phone out as I'm getting changed into what I'm going to wear to run out to the airport. And I see that the flight left 30 minutes earlier than scheduled.
Oh.
And arrival time is in 8 minutes.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And I'm on the west side of town. The airport is on the far east side of town. It's going to take me at least 40 minutes to get there. So I quickly text my mom and say, oh, just woke up and saw your flight's coming in 30 minutes early. I'll be there as soon as I can. Get dressed, hop in the car, hightail it down there.
Yeah.
And between taxing, so they land, right? 8 minutes, then they land. Then they taxi for another 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Jeez.
And then they get to the airport. Then they unload everybody.
Yeah.
And then they have to walk from the C terminal to the train, and then take the train to the main terminal and go to baggage claim. Basically, I pulled up just as they were coming outside and could not have worked out better time-wise.
Wow, nicely done. Hard to time that kind of stuff. That's good.
It really is, yeah. I mean, it's kind of fortuitous, or not fortuitous, but perfect storm, or whatever you want to call it. It worked out extremely well. Sure.
Bad weather, but perfect storm. How about that? I like that. Bad weather, perfect storm.
Bad weather, perfect storm. So got out there, got her back home, came back home. And I think the mistake for me was, I don't know if it was worse for me going to sleep, waking up, doing this, and then trying to go back to sleep and then getting up a few hours later. But it left me, you know, I was, as you predicted when you were talking to Bobby, Brian is up at about 6 a.m. cursing the fact that he can't get any more sleep. That was about right. It was 7.
Yeah,
because of the time change.
Because you got like an internal clock. You know, it's hard to fight that. I'd do that. Same thing. I can't sleep that late.
I'm usually like I can stay up all night and get a few hours of sleep and get up and be ready. And it's the that was ingrained in me from the newspaper software company days. Because we do these trade shows, we do, you know, 4 or 5 events a year where we'd go to these trade shows or to the NAB conference or whatever. And we would be schmoozing with customers until the wee hours.
Of course.
But then we had to be right up there at the booth to be able to answer questions and demonstrate the software and all that stuff first thing in the morning. So you learn to, you train yourself to recover.
Did you like the schmooze? Was that a thing you enjoyed? Because I always hated that.
There were some customers that it wasn't like, there was no ulterior motive of like, I really want to sell them a new package of software and support. There were customers that I was just genuinely really friendly with. Ed from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Tampa, Pauline from Tampa, who I still talk to and I'm actually still doing freelance work for.
That's cool.
Maureen from Seattle. There was quite a few that we'd see at these things and be like, oh, let's have a drink. Total non-schmoozy kind of thing.
I like that.
But yeah, then there were the ones where it's like, oh, hey, we really want to get this guy. Yeah. Brian, come introduce him and so he can see what they get as far as support and that sort of things. Like, yeah.
Cool. Sure. Schmoozing, the company I worked for before, we had to do a fair bit of that, and I hated it, except for times when it was people I liked. So this tracks.
Exactly. Yeah. It was great to see them the next morning because they would be up until 2 a.m. with us having drinks at the lobby bar. And then we'd see them the next morning as they came by the booth, and they were rough. They were like they had had a hard time sleeping, rough night. And
that makes sense.
Then we could get them. Anyway, so long story short, I may have woken up at 7 yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And I thought about, well, I could text Scott and Bobby and say, hey, if you need me, I'm available. But I thought, yeah, I'm not fully 100% awake, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Sure.
You know.
You're zombie,
ready
Brian.
Ready for comedy. It was not ready for comedy.
Yeah, you're zombit. You're zombie-ibit. Yeah.
Exactly. So I listened to the show, had a leisurely breakfast, kind of sat on the couch, dozed in and out, kind of a little bit for a couple hours, and then got to work on freelance. Yeah,
that sounds okay. That sounds like an okay morning to me.
It wasn't too bad, and thank you for allowing me to have that.
Well, of course. Any kind of late late night anything is always a time to consider our options, so it's all good.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to, well, I didn't say it yesterday because I wanted to save it for when you got back, but we went to the Asian food market over the weekend, Kim and I. It's a mistake to do this on a Saturday, it turns out, because it's this place downtown called, we kind of call it Chinatown. It's not really Chinatown, but it's basically an area that used to be this horrible, dilapidated, awful kind of zone that wasn't great and nothing survived there. Kmart's would open and shut down and it was just always bad. But then this, some years ago, this Asian food market collective opened up, put up this big, giant, awesome looking Asian sort of bridge that like was the entrance to all of it. And then inside of there, all these Korean places, Chinese, Japanese, just everything, pho places, all this. And then a huge market, like a grocery store style market where they have all the seafood and the whatnot. And it's awesome. It's really cool. And the food's amazing, really authentic. But two things happen when we go there on Saturday. One, that apparently is the time everyone shops at the Asian market. It was packed and packed with everyone who is Asian and no one who looks like me. So this place is packed with Asian people who are all shorter than me, and I look like some kind of weird pink bean pole sticking out of this crowd. And it was really busy.
Was there a scene in Lost in Translation where Bill Murray is walking around, and you just see, you know, from the chest up, you see Bill Murray in kind of a sea of people walking around.
Yeah,
it's
a really weird contrast. And this happened when I was in China too. It just felt like I felt so isolated and so, you know. And I even think Kim blended in nicely. You know, she's a little shorter. She looked like she belonged there. Everybody else looked like they belonged there. I looked like I was like going, I've lost my way. You know, I felt like John Blackthorne in freaking Shogun. It was weird.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we're walking around, we're doing our thing, and it's so elbow to elbow. It's just like kind of, you know, just not, it wasn't great in terms of crowd. It's great to see, you know, this place is booming. It's wonderful to see that. And lots of small businesses kicking ass and all this stuff. But man, that place is like finding a new planet in no man's sky and having to scan weird new fruit.
It really
for
is.
Points.
Yeah. It is. You see things there that you just had no idea nature could create. Like, yeah. What part of the animal is this?
Yeah, there's like a ball, like some of this fruit we found. There's like, it just looked like three spheres mushed together, merged together, and then spikes all around it. And then we'd see another, like a fish that had like what looked like one eye in the middle of it or something.
Exactly. It is great. Yeah, it I love insane. Going with, the one that we go to is called Palm Pacific Ocean Marketplace, and that's what it is. And you know, there's certain things it's like, oh, we'll always pick up a weird flavor Kit Kat or a package of Pocky, you know, the little coffee stirry sticks that are really good.
Oh yeah, people love the Pocky.
Some of the sometimes they have the Japanese milk bread, which is awesome, like a loaf of this stuff that is so delicious.
Saw a lot of that too. Yeah.
For the most part, it's like, look at this weird fish, Tina. What's this?
Yeah. Or look at this crab. It's as big as Rainer. What are we going to do with it? Nothing. I'm not taking that home. You know, and it's all live. Most of the stuff's live, right? So it's all fresh and live.
Oh, yeah. We get the tanks with all of the crabs and lobsters and then some other bizarre creatures. And
they must have had like 50 kinds of kimchi, which is what I was kind of in there for.
Really?
I was looking for the, you know, just a new thing of kimchi had run out. And I didn't know what to pick. I'm looking around. Okay, well, where are most people gathered around poking around? Maybe that'll tell me what's popular. And so I ended up doing that.
Kimchi zero? Was that
the It's not it. They didn't have it. No, they had kimchi
pumpkin
light.
Spice. Was there a pumpkin spice flavor?
No, it's unfortunate that they didn't have that either. But they did have this kind that everybody was pointing at and buying, and I got it. It's great. Freaking very happy with it.
So really? Brought that home. Send me a photo of the label. I
will.
Some up myself.
It's not like fresh cut like we usually get there, but the Korean place that's in the same complex who gives the fresh cut, they have like a smaller market. They were so busy. There was no getting in there edgewise. So it was just like not going to happen. Wow. So I'm told the time to go to this place is at like 1 p.m. on a weekday.
Yeah, definitely on a weekday.
Yeah.
For sure.
And only old Asian people go during the day is what the lady there told me. I said, is it always this busy? She just says, oh, it's a Saturday. Why is it so busy? When should I come? Oh, around noon on Wednesday. Best time to come, she says. I'm like, all right.
I would think that during the day, you also get a lot of restaurant kitchen shoppers, right? Like the folks who have a restaurant want to get some fresh stuff. So, you know, probably in the mornings on weekdays, you get those.
Yeah, they have some that buy there at the market, and then they have this right next to all of this is this huge, almost like a Sam's Club looking building.
Yeah.
And that's nothing but wholesale food. Okay. And so restaurant owners will come there and just raid that place. That looked really, everything looked busy. It was just crazy because as a kid growing up in that part of town or driving through that part of town a lot, it was always it was a ghost town, awful place. It was not great. They have turned it into the most bustling, awesome little pocket of rad over there, and it's very cool. So I recommend going there. I just don't think you ought to go there at like noon on a Saturday. Maybe avoid that.
Saturday. No, definitely not.
Yeah, and if you're hoping that you'll run into other 6'4" white people, you're not gonna see them. You might see me.
That actually does surprise me. I'm surprised there weren't a bunch of, you know, big doofuses like us, like walking around there, like easy to spot.
No, I expected one or two or three at least. Yeah. I thought I would see somebody and be able to kind of wink at them and go,
You know, they're all coming at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday. they're all there.
Yeah, they already heard. They got the memo.
Oh, you want to come on Wednesdays when all the people who look like you are here.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, what's the Japanese crosswalk that's famous?
Shibuya.
Yeah, it's like Shibuya crossing. In there, except nobody was waiting for any lights. It was just like, and everyone was nice. Like a lot of sort of, oh, excuse me, sorry. Oh, can I get around you? Yeah, no problem. You know, like there was, everybody was dealing with it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just like.
It's just a sea of people.
It was too much. It was too much.
You need to, I know I recommend a little while back, but Alice in Borderland, a lot of the stuff takes place in Shibuya and right around that crossing.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, a very key moment in the first episode takes place there. And I don't know how, you know, that scene in Vanilla Sky when Tom Cruise comes out and is looking down Times Square, looking down Broadway in New York City, and there is no traffic, no cars, no people.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that. It's like how did they recreate or do this CGI thing that looks so amazing with Shibuya Crossing and not have it filled with people?
Yeah, because I have to assume, so famously, Vanilla Sky is the only movie that ever stopped all traffic at whatever weird time they chose to
do
that scene.
They did it 4 in the morning, and that's why it looks like it's sunset, but really it's pre-sunrise or something.
Yeah, so they had to jump through all those hoops. But that Shibuya thing, there's no way they got that done that
ever.
Way.
Yeah. I can't imagine there's ever time. Plus, it is full-on daylight when they do that scene in the show. It's like, how is this possible?
The magic of modern filmmaking, Brian, is what that is.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, did you have any parting thoughts on the whole Oscars deal? Did you want to mention any of that?
Yeah, I disagree with you on the format of the five previous nominees to some degree. I think when it's Jennifer Lawrence talking about her friend Emma Stone, or was it Emma Stone? It was Jennifer Lawrence talking about her friend Emma Stone.
No, Emma Stone was what's her name was.
That's right.
I can't think of her name.
But Michelle Yeoh,
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Sally Field.
Yeah, that's right.
Michelle Yeoh gave the Oscar to Jennifer Lawrence to give to Emma Stone so that they could share that moment together as friends. But there were a couple like that where you could tell it wasn't just, I'm reading a thing off a prompter that's for an actor that I have never met in real life, but I have to act like I really care about them kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the ones where it was genuine, I love that. And I feel like instead of, if they do this again in the future, instead of it requiring previous winners in that category, make it somebody who has a long-standing relationship with that person. So if it's Jeffrey Wright, for example, some actor that's been in a lot of movies with Jeffrey Wright and knows him well, and have that person do his Jeffrey, you never cease to amaze me with your ability to blend in into a character, and your anger and your joy come out in every role you have. And then we go over to,
that's not bad. Know. Yeah. So you're saying still have five people doing it. Just have
still
to
have
be
five people
close to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So I actually really like that. Man, Lily Gladstone not getting it. Across the Spider-Verse not getting it. Those were the two big surprises that just blew me away. Those two not getting the Oscars that we all expected them to get.
Well, you could see in Emma Stone's face, she was also shocked.
Yeah. When she stood up, I mean, she'd been reading the trades. She knew that Lily Gladstone was the favorite. And
I think she thought, well, I've already won one. Mm. And this is a chance for her to win it. And there's all these other reasons around why it's important. If Lily Gladstone's to win, there's all these great reasons she could win. She's a big advocate for stuff outside of this. They even mentioned that. Like, it's a big deal. And the look on Emma Stone's face was almost like, oh, shit, I'm going to have to deal with this shitstorm now.
With my dress broken.
Yeah, with my busted-ass dress that I was hoping not to have to get up and show anybody, you know?
Right. Right.
But I will say this, last night, as you can tell, because this clip right here.
She grabbed my hairy business.
I watched Poor Things last night. That's the best line in Poor Things, by the way. I love that lady.
I forgot about that line. That is
it's pretty great.
Yeah, that is such a crazy, nutso, wacko kind of movie. Right,
it's
there.
The weirdest movie I've seen in a long time. Shouldn't be surprised. This guy makes weird movies. But she's amazing in it.
She is so good. You never question her as a weird Frankenstein character.
You also, the movie doesn't work without her.
No,
really it doesn't. It's not a movie without that performance. Now, could you have squeezed that out of somebody else? Maybe. But I walked away from that going, that's 100% that whole thing pivots on her performance. The whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
the rest really of it's fine. It's weird. Yeah. It's
Ruffalo
whatever.
Ruffalo is great. Defoe is great.
Yeah, Defoe in so particular, dude. Yeah. Freaking blowing bubbles out of what the hell's going on right now? There was so much of that stuff. And all the hybrid animals, like the freaking dog duck that was running around the house and all that.
Yeah,
I loved so much of that. I was a little surprised. I didn't realize there'd be that much skin in there.
Oh, yes, I know. Yeah, no, that's kind of the reaction we had, the skin and self-pleasuring that takes place prior to all the skin. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, it's like a preteen figuring out that, oh, this feels good. I'm going to do it all the time. No, no, not at the table. Not at the table. Not while we're eating dinner.
Not now. Please not now. Yeah. And also just like her, I don't know. I don't think Emma Stone was known for this sort of exposure before, but
gosh, no.
Whatever. I've never also
seen Jennifer Lawrence in that, that movie last year, No Hard Feelings. So it's like, oh, Jennifer Lawrence. Okay. That's not something we ever expected to see.
No.
So, all right.
So that shocked me a little bit. Also, Mark Ruffalo's butt. Didn't need to see that. It's fine. Whatever.
Oh, okay. So you're fine on one side of the nudity, but maybe.
No, that's my point. Like, all of it. All of it was a little shocking. Like, I don't. And none of it was. I don't find any. This is the thing about a movie like this. None of that's sexy.
Yeah. None at all. Yeah.
None of it's like, ooh, titillating. Not at all. Right. It's like, exactly. No, that's effed up. What are we doing here? That's also effed up. Wait a minute. That's a priest. Okay. That's effed up.
like there's a long string of clients in that brothel. Holy cow.
Really weird movie, but I really liked it and thought it was, she's just incredible in it. So this is I still haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon yet. I will. And I'm sure I'm going to walk away from that going, man, what an amazing performance. But I can see why they gave this to Emma Stone. Yeah. She just holds that whole thing together. It's crazy.
She's really, really good.
And she's only 35.
Also surprised you haven't seen Oppenheimer, too, especially with, your Florence Pugh in there, your Cillian Murphy.
I like everybody about that movie. Yeah. I just need to watch it.
Your RDJ.
Yeah. I love.
He's the only person I feel like who can get away with being as snarky as he is at the Oscars when he's accepting his award.
Oh, he's just good at it. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, you go up there, you put a Christopher Nolan, you put Christian Bale up there. And if he says those same kinds of things, he's canceled the next day. Like, can't believe he walked up there and said, oh, nice job. You only flubbed one line.
Yeah. He has a way about him. I really like that. I will say this. If they can, I'm good with no. Jimmy Kimmel's had his run. Can we get? I think we need somebody.
Really?
I
think he's fine.
I think he's annoying me. I can't explain.
Oh, really?
I can't really even explain it. Some of his jokes kind of sucked and just felt like drippy and dumb. Sometimes they felt completely out of left field. And that shot where he's saying something about Emma Stone, and then the camera cuts to her, and she tells whoever's next to her, she goes, "What a prick." Or something like that.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
Like, it just feels like they're not even his jokes, probably. This is somebody else writing these jokes.
A lot of these are his.
But I don't think it's all one dude making jokes, right? They got a committee in there writing.
They have a committee. They have writers. Like, his monologue is written by a team, but his off-the-cuff stuff, like, Wes Anderson couldn't be here because he's making a diorama of the stage out of corduroy. Mm. You know, that was his.
Yeah.
The whole Trump thing was his idea. Producers were like, maybe you shouldn't do it. He's like, no, I'm totally going to do it.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't know what it is. It's something about Kimmel. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on
Interesting.
It.
Interesting. Oh, I
just doesn't
I'm,
entertain
I'm
me.
Still a fan. I like his style of interviewing. I like his style of comedy. Totally, totally fine with Kimmel.
I don't mind his talk show's fine. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the stage thing. It's like that time when Letterman did it and he said,
the Oprah thing.
Yeah. He says, I'll never do that again. And people kept asking him, why won't you host again? I'll never do it again. I hated it. And I didn't like it either. And I love Letterman. I love him. But
I'll say this. Molly Fenton reminds me about how funny John Mulaney was. Bring John Mulaney. Let John Mulaney host for a year. I'd love to see that.
Also, he seems like a guy that likes movies. You know, he's into it.
He certainly likes Field of Dreams.
Yeah. But, you know, he knows his shit, I think. And he might be more of a cinephile than others. And yes, I vote for that. Let's put him up there next year. Let him host. He'd be amazing. Yeah. But like even I like Billy Crystal. It's something about the Oscars. I don't like hosted Oscars. I don't like you know what I don't like? I don't like the Oscars. That's what I don't like. I like that people win shit. I like that people did great. Yeah. I like that they're recognized for their work. And I like that industry does what it does so I can enjoy my entertaining films for the year. Without Hollywood, I get no Dune Part 1 and Part 2, right? Like, I'm not going to complain about that. Yeah. But that 3-hour thing, it's hard for me.
Yeah. Well, you don't even watch it. You do the post clips. Like you say, all right, what was funny and
yeah. And what bits I watched while Carter and her friend watched were just hard for me.
Oh, just, during that Twitch thing.
I just stood there going, okay, what's he saying? What's he doing? Oh, that's bad. Okay, I'm gonna go away now.
It was one of the it got one of the best ratings of Oscar telecasts in years. Which
no, by all accounts, it gave everybody who likes this shit everything they wanted. Like,
yeah,
if you like the Oscars, I think you had a banger Sunday. You know what I'm saying?
I did, and I do, and I did.
Yeah. I mean,
I like it because it's an introduction to movies that I wouldn't see otherwise. Not just your best picture, your 10 best picture candidates, but the stuff in the acting awards, the stuff in the international films, the shorts. Would not even give two shits about shorts if it weren't for, like, all right, tell me which ones I should check out, and they were all great.
My favorite thing in the last 10 years about the Oscars is that you find out what's nominated, and then you go watch these shorts, you watch the documentaries, and then you come here and you tell us what's good or what isn't.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's a useful thing for me. It makes me excited to see certain things. It makes me stoked about it.
Good.
So the Oscars, obviously it has a place.
You like, so, and that's totally fine. Not everybody's going to like everything. You like letting me like the Oscars and letting that influence my suggestions on what to check out.
Also, it's a general thing. I don't like award shows. That's generally a thing.
Sure.
I don't like.
Sure.
And it kind of doesn't matter what the subject is. Like, I just,
there are very few that I like. I cannot watch the Grammys. I can't stomach the MTV Music Award, Movie Awards, or the Music Awards. That's Emmys, Oscars, maybe the Golden Globes, but it can't be the only thing I'm doing. I got to be playing a game on my iPad and looking up every once in a while at the Golden Globes.
My favorite thing about the Oscars is the conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
That because the Hollywood is made up of a bunch of Illuminati and stuff like that, according to some people, that was John Cena's this was a chance for him to break up to the next level. It's called a humiliation ritual, according to some people.
Yeah, okay.
So the idea is you make him come out and be naked.
Yeah.
Now that's a humiliation thing that, okay, if he passes, he can move up to the next level. There are people who believe that shit.
Now he can now do more than just Amy Schumer comedies and Peacemaker is basically what they're saying. That's
so lame.
Hilarious.
So lame. I hate that stuff.
Yeah, John Cena, no, I know he had something on behind that nominees card, but good Lord, it had to be really tiny.
Well, according to a stage photo I saw, he had nothing on under there. He had his
seriously?
Yeah, full on wiener out. Yeah. Let's see if I can find it. I can share it with you, but it's like they pulled him back there and wrapped him in the robe, it was like five people all ran up and did it, and then one guy stayed and looked like he was the one that did it.
I can't believe there's too many possible things that can go wrong with saying that. By the way, it was also great when he came off stage and you see him shake hands with The Rock, because those two hated each other for a long time because of this WWE comeback thing they wanted to do with The Rock, and they had fights about who was going to win it or how it was going to go down. And their people are saying that he had a sock or that he had a thong on.
I hope it wasn't a sock.
A sock.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay, so what I saw, the shot I saw was very blurry and very like Zapruder film. Mm-hmm. This is much more clear, and you're right. He's wearing like a beige. Here, I'll put it up.
Well, the... Isn't the title of this thing John Cena wasn't totally naked at the Oscars?
yeah. This isn't the one I saw yesterday. The one I saw yesterday was a totally different thing.
Gotcha.
So there he is, you guys, wearing his little unit there. You can see.
Yeah, I mean, but seeing that much was really surprising. Like,
yeah,
dude looks like an there is a photo of him.
Yeah, that's the one I'm showing. It's doesn't have strings on it even. It's just like
that's not a thong. That is a cloth merkin is what he's wearing right there.
Yeah. I would be nervous that's not going to hold if I was
him. A peeny pasty is what that is. It's peeny pasty.
Yep. He still looks like buff Jim Varney to me. Look
the
at
the dude is. Oh, he does. Yeah, and the dude is like so in the butt. I just scrolled down and saw the butt.
Yeah.
The dude looks like a freaking action figure.
Oh yeah. No, he's a.
He's a specimen. The dude is a specimen.
He is a specimen. He's earned his ability to go out there and do that. But some people think it was all part of some ritual, and I think they're insane.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Nicely done. We have a quick clarification.
And last comment. Yeah. What the heck is up with Al Pacino?
He's old and doesn't care anymore. Doesn't give a shit. I think he's just like...
They're saying it was intentional that he did not read the list of Best Picture nominees before he just opened it. That he's... All right, I'm just going to open this and tell you, Oppenheimer. They didn't even do that right. Like, he's like, well, my eyes are seeing Oppenheimer. And then this kind of pause. And then, oh, okay, Oppenheimer. Oh, okay. And then everybody claps and the music plays and that sort of thing. It was such a, it was way to like completely suck all the climax out of the Best Picture announcement.
He was on the Game Awards a couple years ago or a year ago, whatever it was. Yeah. And, same thing. Something's going on there. I'm not saying he's losing it. I'm just saying I don't think he. I just think he doesn't care anymore. I think he's just like, oh, you want me to do a thing? Fine, I'll get up there and do it.
I'll do it. If I was the man I was 20 years ago, I'd have said fire to this place.
That's right. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a crap. And he doesn't. And you know what? It's Al Pacino. He doesn't need
he's
to give a crap.
He's freaking Al Pacino. He can do whatever the f he wants.
Yeah. If you're gonna ask him to do it, you better expect him to do whatever he wants.
I was Serpico.
That's right. Serpico's good. That's a good movie.
It is a good film, yeah.
We got a clarification. I got a play. This is
clarification.
Clarification. Yes. This is from the other day when you were here, and here's how that went.
Warwickshire. Not Warwickshire. Not Warwickshire. Not Warwickshire. Warwickshire. Or sorry, to be more accurate, Warwickshire.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay. We think we figured that out on the air, but
I thought we did. I thought we, you know, I said, okay, well, we don't pronounce the second W, but apparently it's not Shire, it's Sure. Or Sure. Okay. Yeah. All right.
You guys just say Sure, and that's fine. Sure. You guys do what you want. Where do you say that the hobbits are from Sure, from the Sure? Did you come from the Sure? Oh, cool. I hope
you did. Yeah.
I hope Mordor doesn't make war against the Shire and the people who live in the Shire. I mean, it makes no. You would never say that.
Came to the Shire to tell me to go find the One Ring. Oh, I'm gonna go be on Tron Uprising.
I always forget he's on there until you remind me.
Yeah.
He's good on there, actually. He's a good voice actor.
He is good on there. Yeah.
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 You know, you don't see
there are times that he sounds like. Oscar Isaac, was that who our Moon Knight was?
Yeah, that was Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac. Yeah, that's who he sounds like every once in a while. If you listen to it and you imagine Oscar Isaac saying it, it's surprisingly weird that you can believe that it's him saying it.
Alito Atreides the First is who that guy is.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Never forget. All right. Also, we have an amazing call to play, and I'm going to play it.
Oh, good.
This is just funny and weird and. I'll let it speak for itself.
Hi, Scott and Brian. I am calling regarding a mention of hell.
Give it a sec.
I was trying to reset the voicemail. That doesn't work on this line. Ignore it. I'll come back to it later and call again. Sorry, I'm walking my dog. This did not work out. Bye.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
Let this be a lesson. If you call in and things fall apart, you're still getting played.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're even more guaranteed to get played if you leave a message like that rather than the message you probably intended to leave.
Yeah, we have a commitment here on the show that if something like that happens, it gets played. So sorry about that.
it's a guarantee.
Yeah. So the chat's saying, what if you said Shire and you're in England and you're used to saying Sure? And when they say Shire in the books or in the films, what do you, is that sound
it's
weird?
If it's part of a word, you say Sure, like Yorkshire. You don't say Yorkshire. I'm going to have some Yorkshire pudding.
I guess we do the same thing with New Hampshire. We just say New Hampshire.
We say New Hampshire. Yeah. But we say Hillshire Farms.
Oh.
We don't say Hillshire Farms, right? We say Hillshire.
You're right.
Because English is dumb and unpredictable.
It's very unpredictable, and I don't like
Tom
it.
As Tom Laney would say, it's problematic and weird.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Weird.
He has a great voice.
does.
All right, we got to do this.
Watch a foodie.
We're going to try a thing sent to us by Mike Pacholik.
Yeah.
He sent us a little box.
I love Mike.
He's great. He's always sending us cool stuff.
Pocket. He's always surprising us with stuff. So, dude, you're the best.
You are the best. Pocket chocolate. Or, sorry, Pocket Coffee is the name of the thing.
Pocket Coffee. It
pocket
like a
coffee.
Charlie Day. Kitten Mittens.
That's right. Pocket Coffee Espresso thing, unit, deal.
God, I really missed an opportunity to have you soak this in water and try to drink it. Dang it. Why did I?
What doesn't make sense to me is my wife also thought this, and I don't know why we thought this.
But why didn't I let you keep going with that just to watch you do it?
She
just
was like yesterday, she goes, if Brian's there today, I'll get it all ready and get it hot and everything ready to go. And I said, okay, cool. And then you were gone. I'm like, oh, don't worry. I'll do it. I can do this on my own on Wednesday. And she said, okay, no problem. And not until Brian this morning said, you want to do this today? And I said, yeah, do I need you to get hot water? You're like, what for? And I realized we were wrong. This is just a thing you eat. This is it.
Yeah, it is just a thing you eat. It is a chocolate. It is a little treasure chest-shaped little chocolate.
Yeah, see? Like you'd get out of a, I don't know, your average little box of chocolates.
Out of Werther's Original.
Life is like a box of these. All right, let's try it.
Okay.
Oh, I hate it. Ooh. I hate it so much.
It is full of goo.
Ugh. Ugh. Mm. I hate chocolate. I hate chocolate. I love chocolate. I hate the taste of coffee. I cannot stand it.
And that is what this is. This is coffee with a center that is just straight up espresso.
Yeah.
Oh.
And be careful because mine spilled everywhere. Here. Let's move this somewhere safe. Oh, shit.
I know. I was not...
wasn't expecting it to be so liquidy.
It says it right there on the front.
Yep. Wow. You know what? That may have been okay in hot water.
No, it would not have.
You don't think so?
Weird, greasy, floaty chocolate bits floating on top of the water. And then
that's true. That stuff doesn't it's not soluble, is it?
No.
Chocolate's not. The stuff inside, though,
this is awesome.
You cut that out and go bloop and put it in a thing and you could maybe make it. But yeah, this isn't for me. I'm afraid.
There you go. Send the other 17. Actually, Kim would probably love it because
she'll
like
love these. She'll be way into this. Carter, too. They'll love
these. Kim gets 17 of them.
All right. Well,
sorry, Amy. I was going to try and have Scott send you the remaining 17 chocolates.
Where'd this come from? Fine chocolade und 100% Arabica. It's all different language back there.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't look like French. I would say German, maybe?
Fine chocolat. Let's see. Cool and trocken. Meinstein's hot and beast. This sounds German.
It does, yeah.
Yep. I'm going to say that's German without really knowing anything about it. All right. Well, thank you for that and all that stuff, you guys. We got time for a little bit of news. Let's do some news.
Yeah.
Here we go. Today's news brought to you by
freeze drying fruit.
We're freeze drying fruit and meat and other things. Kim's going to make a bunch of freeze dried stuff. So we learned that you can take an entire beef stew. Okay. So you make the beef stew or whatever, anything, chili, doesn't matter. You make a batch of chili, let's say. Mm-hmm. If you have a freeze dryer, you lay the chili out in these flat trays. You put them into their little slots in the freeze dryer. You let it run its course. You pull it out, and you now have basically a giant wafer, or multiple if you do multiple trays, a wafer of chili that is, you know, you could break it apart. It's all freeze dried.
Crumbly. Yeah.
Then you take that, you break it up into chunks, and you could literally just eat it if you want. We're doing that with veggies and stuff, like a snack, you know, peas and stuff. It's very, very good. But in the chili case or stew or even omelets or eggs or anything, you do this, you put them in bags, and then when you go on a trip, and it's, by the way, 25 years preservation by doing this process. 25 years the stuff will last.
Wow, really?
Okay. Yeah, which explains why MREs work the way they do, I guess.
Totally, yes, right.
And then you take you could take them on a camping trip or something, you put them in a bag, pour hot water in there, you've now got reconstituted freaking chili or stew or eggs or anything, and it tastes like the day you freeze-dried them.
That's cool.
It's crazy. So we're all into that at the moment. We're making a bunch of...
Yeah, I think it works. Does it work with... have you found something it doesn't work with? Like You know, you mentioned eggs. Probably can't do scrambled eggs. Like
you can do you can do scrambled eggs. Although I haven't tried them scrambled. We've only done it like liquidy. Okay. But you can then. I guess that's essentially still scrambled though when you cook them.
Yeah.
Or when you reheat them. But yeah, that totally works. Eggs are fine. What else? Okay. We tried ice. That doesn't work. Ice is no good.
Freeze drying ice.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing that wasn't work because the process is already halfway done for you.
Yeah. I just had to know if it was going to do anything and it didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. It just took the moisture out of the tray entirely. What else? We haven't tried the big slabs of like meat yet. We're going to try some like steak flanky things.
See, that's some good stuff. Can you?
Yeah.
It's different than turning it into jerky because it's
right.
It's freeze drying, not curing.
Curing or what's the other? There's another drying. What's the other kind called?
The one where like you make chunks like banana slices that they're crispy. Dehydration.
Dehydrated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't do that here, as far as I know.
Right. Freeze drying. Okay.
It's interesting. It's cool. The only thing that makes me weird about it. This is my brother-in-law's freeze dryer he gave to us. It has a air compressor that goes with it, and it runs the whole time. And that's fine. It's not even that loud, but it's about 1,000 degrees if you touch it. And I'm just nervous. I'm like, that's gonna burn the house down. What are we doing?
Yeah, maybe put that part outside and just in case. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't like that. Anyway, here's a.
Have you thought about people like you know? Can you do like Walt Disney did, freeze drying himself until there's a cure for whatever.
Unfortunately, I don't think they would have to grind me up and put me in 4 separate trays, and even then, my whole body would not.
You wouldn't fit.
Okay. I could do my whole brain though.
Do that to turn you into brownies anyway. So
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Skip the freeze drying process.
Yeah, forget that. Plus, it'll be a more fulfilling meal to be able to just add water and eat me that way. You know. Anyway, it's a real fun process. We got inspired by a bunch of Pinterest posts she found, and she went nuts with it. So.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the story here. We're going to tell you about the Philadelphia Phillies. This is baseball here.
Indeed, it is.
Scrapping $1 hot dog nights, and they're doing it because one fan was an a-hole.
One?
I would be pissed. Well, unruly fan behavior could be more than one.
Oh, I think they mean just behavior of fans, but. Fan behavior as opposed to fans behavior.
Yeah, and they're being poops.
It's a bunch. According to this paragraph, is a bunch of them.
For more than a quarter century, Philly fans considered dollar hot dog night among the best ballpark promotions, but the team has now decided it was the worst. I knew you'd like that. The worst.
Yeah.
Spelled WR. Yeah, not even HuffPo. HuffPo's nothing to do with this. This is the AP News. This is the AP.
Yeah.
The advanced placement. it says those dog days of April. That's another dumb reference. The dog days of April when Philly weather is cold and wieners are a steal are going gone. Baseball reference.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not our frankly going gone. Let's get a Frank reference in there as well.
Yeah. What is it? Now I think
missed
they're bad.
An opportunity there. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I think they're bad at their job. Philly officials ended the popular promotion Thursday and replaced dollar dogs on selected dates with a 2-for-1 deal at 2 April games in Citizens Bank Park. That's a boring name for a park. I hate these when they change.
Yeah, corporate names. Me too.
Do you think anybody, like, what's the one that used to be
Fenway? We have Empower Field here, which we still call, we're going to forever call Mile High Stadium.
Yeah.
But our basketball and hockey place, where the Mammoth play as well, is now called Ball Arena.
I hate it.
Ball Arena.
I don't like it. I don't like that at all.
No.
Who's the company?
It used to be the Pepsi Center, and for whatever reason, I kind of liked it as the Pepsi Center, but nope. Ball Arena.
Whoever's like first and most prominently first, that's where it should be. So if it's like for us, it's Delta Center. That's stuck. That's all anyone ever said. So when it was Vivint Home Arena for a hot minute, nobody called it that. We called it the Delta Center.
The Delta Center.
Yeah. And now Delta has it again, and I couldn't be happier. In fact, I think that's what gets the Jazz winning again, is we finally got the Delta Center back. You watch.
Nice. Good.
Yeah. That's me. And this season, maybe not. But next season, maybe. Let's see here. The statement made by the team said the change was made based on the organization's ongoing commitment to provide a positive experience for all fans in attendance. It says, armed with projectile Frankfurters, some unruly Philly fans began chucking their favorite Hatfield meat during the game last year, and the dogs soared like cans of corn through the stands and into the field. Hold on a minute. Why cans of corn? Yeah.
I don't know. Just like, because it's a chuckable size, I guess. It's just a weird comparison, right? Like, because at first you read, if you skim this article, you're thinking, "Oh crap, they're throwing cans of corn at the players."
Yeah.
But no, just like, you know, everybody can visualize how a can of corn would fly through the air. Now apply that to a hot dog, which is impossible to imagine.
Yeah, you can't imagine a hot dog flying through the air, but think of it as a
put
as
it
a
in
can
terms
of
cans of corn for me, would you? Sure. So I can understand what's like.
This is how the Army does it when they design new missiles and bullets and stuff. They're like, I don't understand how this could hurt our enemy. Okay, imagine if you can.
Imagine
a can of corn.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, I get it. The new warheads make perfect sense now.
Oh, that's how it's going to work. Like a can of... Oh, why did you start with that?
Yeah, start with can of corn, you idiot.
Yeah.
Anyway, last year, the whole game turned into a food fight. Largely good natured,
by the
way.
We're going to bomb that place like a bunch of bags of potatoes dropped from...
Imagine, if you will, a whole bags bunch of potatoes. Anyway, they got a bunch of people ejected, and as a result this year, they're like, nope, I'm not doing it anymore. So, sorry, fans of
that
the Philadelphia
sucks.
Phillies. It does
That's
suck.
That's a bummer. It's better than Dollar Beer Night. Remember when they had the Dollar Beer Night fiasco of like...
Oh, yeah.
And stuff predictably went awry. But maybe, hot dogs, come on.
Maybe my grandma was right. There was a point in high school she sat me down. This is a true story. She sat me down and she said, you know what the problem with modern sports is? Scotty, she called me. And I said, what's that, Grandma? It's my Grandma Wilson. She says... We used to have to wear dresses, suits, and hats and stuff to sporting events. That's how we went in my day.
Yeah, yeah.
And nowadays, you guys just go in your shorts and your stupid baseball hat on backwards, and you're just wearing your thongs. Oh, you know, people don't call them thongs now, but...
Your flip-flops,
Your flip-flops. And you don't take the thing seriously anymore, and so it's just blah, 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 blah. Like today, she would say, if she was here today, she would say, this is a sign of that right there. That's what she'd say.
You know, there's something to that, because I think the first five people that threw a hot dog were pissed at the game. The remaining 100,000 wanted to see what the field would look like littered with a bunch of hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt in my mind that only a few people were actually throwing them because they were pissed off at the game. The rest of them were like, oh, what do you think the baseball field will look like? Let's watch a bunch of people have to pick up hot dogs. Bing!
I'd be honest. I would like to see a field full of hot dogs.
Right? Yeah.
No matter how I was dressed for the game, I would like to see that.
It's the, it's like the hat tricks and stuff. And in lacrosse, they have sock tricks.
Oh.
And that's not a fun night to be in the front row where our season pass, season tickets are, because people take off their stinky ass socks. And they huck them onto the field. And if they can't get them onto the field, guess where they land? The first few rows
your awesome seats, yeah.
Our awesome seats, which all of a sudden become a battleground of slightly moist Hanes ankle lengths.
So is that only when the team gets a hat trick and they throw their socks?
Sock trick is like the same player gets six goals, I think, during a game. It used to be three,
yeah. In fact, I thought it was still three.
That's... A hat trick is still three.
Oh, okay.
But a sock trick is, because there's way more scoring in lacrosse.
Oh, yeah, than hockey.
Let's see here. Sock trick lacrosse. Yeah, it started by the Mammoth when Gary Gates scored six goals. Interesting. The sock tricks started in Colorado for the very team that might
have been there. What if you were there that night?
I might have, actually. Yeah, the fans didn't know what to do, so some of them threw their socks onto the field. And sure enough.
That's a night you are glad the Chili Peppers aren't in attendance, you know? I don't want their socks anywhere near me.
Hey, Flea, throw your sock. I can't, Anthony Kiedis. It's all I've got on right now.
It's all that's covering me and my body, my manly body, he'd say. All right, we're going to move on to a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to be visited by the ghost of I'm just kidding. He's not really the ghost of anything. He's the real
the ghost
live
of trivia past.
The real live TV's Travis will be here, and he's going to throw a little contest in our way and see how we do with it. I'm excited to try that out. So we'll give that a shot after this song that you brought. What'd you bring?
Sure. How about some rock from Belgium? We haven't had some rock from Belgium in a while. We love Belgium. Their waffles, their fries, their frites are all really good.
Yeah.
How about this band? They're called 4IM, F-O-R-I-M, 4IM. A brand new single that they've released called Devil Undercover. Their new album, which is called The Righteous and the Wicked, comes out April 19th on SBAM Records, Double Helix Records in the U.S., or P Records in Australia. And it is spelled P-E-E, P Records in Australia.
Wow. I love Australia, man.
You can't have nice things.
No, they're great, though. With the you're calling something P, that's amazing.
Yeah,
you guys
rock. That's so Australia.
Yeah.
All right, this is the song Devil Undercover. Here is the band, 4IM.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There is no call we do not answer. There is no faith that we betray.
That was the sound of John Cena pulling off that peenie protector, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then a brown bubble rose to the top of the room and popped. So gross. Anyway, hey, Brian, who is that again?
A brand new song called Devil Undercover. It's the first single from the upcoming album, The Righteous and the Wicked, coming out April 19th from the band 4IM.
Nice. Now, I will say, so speaking of poor things.
Yeah.
I would, truthfully, I would watch a whole other movie or a series of movies or a television show or anything really just about the life of that Willem Dafoe character. He was fascinating. And every time he was on screen, I was like, ooh, let's hear more about this. Let's have him talk more. This is weird as shit. Everything he said was weird. At one point, he made this line. Let's see if I can find it. As you can tell, I got a little obsessed with this thing.
That's funny that you, for film sec, you record clips.
Oh, nice. Totally. I do this a lot with different stuff, and I'm never sure what I'm going to get, but here it is. Where is it? I can't find it. Oh, is this it?
Sorry about your sack of shit, Lord.
No, that's from the other thing. Oh, here we go. All right. Is this it?
Hold on. We'll have some cheese when you can.
No. That's not it. That's from that movie, but that's not it. How about this one?
Yeah. What made you record that line, by the way?
I don't know. I like dumb shit.
Sorry, go ahead.
Is it this one?
I think she's in.
No, it's Hank Hill. I don't know where I did with it. But anyway, he has this long clip about him, why he can't do the nasty anymore. And it was fascinating. Anyway, I just loved him. I loved him. In fact, you know, I'm this close to saying he really probably could have, maybe should have won that best supporting. I haven't seen Robert Downey Jr. I can't speak to it.
You haven't seen any stuff.
I know. I've not seen any of the other movies yet. But
you like that one the best.
I can only like the one I've seen. And I thought he was amazing in it. That's all I'm saying.
He was great. He was absolutely great. But you need to see Oppenheimer and Holdovers and all these other things before you.
Yeah, I can't declare a winner. I agree. I can't declare a winner yet.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get Travis. Let's get Travis in here. See what he's up to these days.
Sounds good. Yeah.
He was last with us as a step in for Randy. We'll see how he's holding up. Hi, yes. Hi, Travis. TV's Travis. How are you?
Hello. Hello. Hello, Internet Scott.
That's right.
Brian.
Internet Scott and Brian.
This is Travis, and you'll do well to listen carefully to what he has to say.
Oh, I believe that's true. It's good to have you here. Travis comes on the show once a month and does a little trivia with us, sees if he can't stump us instead of the other way around. And I'm excited for it today. How did you, you're a film buff. How'd you feel about the Oscars this weekend?
I didn't watch. I just sort of, took it in after the fact. But, I mean, Robert Downey Jr., I think, deserved that Oscar. He was great. Emma Stone, too. It was fine. Like, as much as I used to watch the Oscars, I just don't as much anymore. I pretty much years later will be like, oh, what won again? And look back and kind of compare it with the other nominees and the other movies of that year. But like sitting down watching the Oscars, I just sort of fell off of that. Kind of the same reason you were talking about. The actual 3 hours worth of watching it just didn't interest me anymore.
Yeah, kind of where I'm at. Here's the thing, too, I like about the one thing I will say about this year, this doesn't feel like one of those years where anyone's going to have beef with it for years, like beef with the winners. It's not going to be that Forrest Gump year or the Crash.
No one's going to be No one's going to be saying, oh, you know who was robbed is so-and-so. It's like, yeah, you know what? That all those things were good performances, deserved the awards they got.
Yeah, and it was a hell of a year for movies. Nobody can doubt that. It was like one of the best. And
I think, you know, so we have this longstanding tradition that we always get together with our friends Scott and Kathy on Oscar night. And it used to be that they'd keep up with all the movies as well as we did, but they have a small child in their house now, which makes it really, really hard to, A, get out to the theater to see the stuff that is currently showing, or B, watch some of the harder things to watch while the kid's awake. So, but we still get together with them, and we do the, you know, we print out ballots, and we, you know, try and predict and all that stuff. And I don't know, you know, if it weren't for that, I who knows, might be where you guys are at with like not having a real desire to watch it and just kind of watch the stuff afterwards that that came up.
I just want to see the movies, and I want to see these performances and stuff, and I don't know, I just don't like the pomp nor the circumstance. How about that? That's the way I put it.
Yeah, and really where it all comes down to, that's probably the part of it that I care about the least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I get that.
Yeah. And it's a fun, you know, Brian likes competition. This is definitely that, right?
Seeing what has been regarded by people, by academics in the industry as being the best performances of the year, but people who are actors or people who make movies, what they consider to be the best.
No, I get that. But I mean, you spend time prior to the Oscars essentially making picks though, right? Like you like to say,
I mean, we all do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now your pick is the one movie you've seen, which is Poor Things.
Yeah. I really liked Poor Things. I think that should have won everything.
Of all the best picture nominees you saw, that was the best one.
Yeah. It's the best one I saw. It is unusual. It's funny because most years I see most of the best picture nominations before the thing.
I know. That was surprising this year that you didn't, but
just didn't get around to any of this. Yeah. So I did see Dune 2, which really is my film of the decade. So there's that.
Oh, really? You haven't mentioned it.
Yeah, I know. I haven't really gotten into it. Well, Travis, let's get into some trivia. You got some stuff prepared for us. Let's do it.
I do. So as always, we're going to do five rounds, best of five. You get to bet on how many clues you need to get each category. So round one, we are going to guess a movie, and I'm going to give you cast members in that movie. We're going to start with Scott, you can start the bidding. I have up to six cast members listed.
Okay. Can probably do it in... Shit. I can do it in three.
You can do it in three? Ooh. All right. Three, ooh, okay. Starting off strong.
Yeah, I know. Three was what I was looking for with this one. Let's go... All right, I'll do two. I'm going to regret it, but I'll do two.
No, that's a bold. Let's be bold right out of the gate. Exactly. Let's do it.
Because there's so many movies where the same two people could be in multiple movies together. So
it's very true. All right, Brian, here are your two cast members for event. For this event.
This big event.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean Pertwee.
Oh, shit.
Kathleen Quinlan.
Oh, shit.
Oh, good Lord.
I don't think three would have been possible after hearing two of these. Louise.
Okay, well, there's a doctor and let's see. Kathleen. Oh, I
well,
did
there's
just
a
see
son
something
of a doctor.
With, yeah. Well, Pertwee was one of the doctors, wasn't he? Oh, it's the younger. It's not. Oh, good Lord. Kathleen Quinlan, though. I think she was in one of the Jack Ryan movies. I'm going to say, Hunt for Red October.
Good guess. Good era. Wrong. Unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to give you this.
Yeah. There we go.
No idea, but you just gave a hint. So let me see if I can capitalize on it. Right. Era. Kathleen Quinlan. Clear and Present Danger.
Also incorrect.
I'm shocked that I'm wrong.
Here's a couple more cast members for you. Okay. Jason Isaacs.
Okay.
Sam Neill.
Oh.
And Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, I know this. I know I won't get points for it, but this is the scary space movie. This is
Is it Event Horizon?
Event Horizon.
It is.
You said event, and I was.
I know.
Ruled that out.
As I started speaking, I looked at the category. I saw Event Horizon. And I'm like, for this event,
That's why you were. There was this long pause. Okay.
Yep. I nearly pulled my hamstring trying to back up from that.
Oh, so. Hilarious. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, round one goes to no one.
No one.
round two, we're going for an actor, and I'm going to give you characters that this actor has played.
Okay. Brian's turn, right?
Brian, we're gonna start with Brian on the bidding here.
I could name that actor in three characters.
Three characters, okay.
A number and Scott? A symbol.
Oh, jeez. Well, it's the year of living boldly. I'm gonna try to do it in two.
Okay. All right, gonna do it.
Name that actor.
All right.
All right, Scott. Here's your two characters this actor has played.
Mm.
Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
August Walker.
August Walker?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. If you said July Walker, I'd definitely know. But August Walker. I don't think it's Robert Downey Jr. because it'd be too easy given the weekend, but maybe that's your trick. He definitely played Sherlock Holmes. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Incorrect.
Damn it. Brian, guess.
I'm going to guess Michael Caine.
Also incorrect.
No. Dang.
I can't knock that guess.
Is it because he sounds like he could play an August Walker?
Right. Yeah. It does sound like a Michael Caine character for sure. So our answer is actually Henry Cavill.
Oh, Henry Cavill. Really?
Henry Cavill.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. Cause he played him in that Netflix show with what's her name with the,
he played Sherlock in Enola Holmes.
Enola Holmes too. Yeah. Right.
What's the other character? Is that the one where he cocks his arms in the bathroom?
Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible.
Cocks his arms in the bathroom.
I love that scene, dude. And you know what's great about that scene?
That is easily one of the most badass things I've ever seen.
Oh, it's amazing. But my favorite part about it is that they CGI his pocket after he cocks his arm. So you have to go look at it. When he starts, he has a pocket. And then after he cocks them, it fades away. It's gone.
That's crazy. Okay. Yeah. Weird.
Or it's maybe the other way around, but one way or the other, the pocket is a CGI pocket and it cracks me up every time I see it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway.
You probably, had you gone with three, would have gotten it because the next one was Clark Kent.
Mm, maybe. Yeah.
So that might have helped.
That would have got me.
It would help Scott because I would have forgotten that he was Holmes in that Enola.
Yeah,
Holmes
I did
thing.
See that. Ah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Going with somebody playing Sherlock Holmes, there's only like 1,000 of those. So.
Basil Rathbone.
That's a pull. That's a big pull, that one. All right.
All right. Round three is our musical round. Okay. So we have a song, and I have moments of the song up to 5 seconds. So 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 seconds of the opening of this song. Scott, you're going to start the bidding.
I can do it in, this is where I suck, so I can do it in four.
Four? Yeah. All right.
I'll take three.
Name three that
seconds?
Song.
All right. Cool. Here's your 3 seconds of the song, Brian.
Oh, come on. Really?
That was 3 seconds? That was not 3 seconds. That was three
that was
seconds?
3 seconds. Yeah.
Frick.
Shoot. I know the group.
I'm going to need a title, though.
I know you are, yes. Is it... is it... I'm trying to think how all these songs I know by them start. Is it Welcome to Paradise by Green Day?
Incorrect.
All right. Scott. I think I know what this is.
All right.
This is 311.
This is 311.
And the song is, this is the hard part because they don't say the lyrics in this.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's not obvious. Their songs aren't obvious with lyrics, like the title lyrics. I mean, they don't do it obviously. So sometimes it's in there, like All Mixed Up. Yes, it has that in there, but that isn't this song. And this isn't that Amber one, I don't think. Amber is the color of your energy thing. So I'm going to say this is, I even know the album. I think this is from Transistor. And I'm going to say the song is. I don't even know the name of it. wait. I'll mix up. Don't know what to do. Something, something. And it's something with you. Is it all? Is it, oh my gosh, the A word's talking to me. I wasn't asking you. Is it All Mixed Up?
No, incorrect.
Shit.
Right band.
Yeah.
Wrong
good
song.
Job. Good job getting the right band. I was so on a Green Day
frick
there that the chat room has been yelling it. So,
yep. So, as yesterday was 311 Day.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
of course.
In celebration of 311 Day, we chose Down by 311, which is off the album 311.
Oh, it is?
Down, down.
I thought that was off the Transistor.
They say down a lot in that song.
Yeah, that's right. I love that. That's a great song. But it's not Transistor. I always think everything's from Transistor. That's probably why I thought that. they only had one album. It was called Transistor, and it had every popular song on it. Actually, I'll say this. Their last three albums, like their more modern things.
Oh, they're great.
Amazing, dude. Mm-hmm. So good. They even did they did an acoustic version of one of them that I could just play all day. It's so good.
They've been consistently putting out great stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, Captain Kipper, you need to listen. Hammond and I did a soundography about 311 last year, and
it was really good, by the way.
Thanks.
I listened to that.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that a lot.
Was my introduction to the band besides the two albums that I heard a lot in the 90s and 2000s. So it was great to hear more. I guess 2000s.
Go ahead.
I almost went with a different song. I was going to go with You Wouldn't Believe, which is a song, probably my favorite song of theirs, because it instantly transports me to the summer of, I want to say, 2003. Like, I just heard it a lot one summer, and so it takes me back there. But the intro to that is longer and much more repetitive, and it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You didn't want to start with...
Right, that's way too easy.
Darn it.
Beautiful disaster. Oh, I'm in the mood now. I'm going to listen to 311 today. Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we're 0 for 3.
Yeah, 0 for 3. Didn't this happen last month?
Nobody.
I think it did. I think we had the same problem.
No, last month you were getting them. It just you ended up tied, and we had to go to our sudden death.
All right.
That's right, yeah.
Which it's looking like we might have to do again. We'll see how these last two rounds go. Round four. So this is a different topic than we've done. I want to know the creator of television series. I'm going to give you some series this person created.
Okay.
And let's see if you know who that is.
Okay.
So, Brian, you will start the bidding.
I'm going to start with two.
Two?
Ooh. Shit.
Two.
Yeah, because I'm either going to get it or I'm not. And
that's fair. That's
all right. Name that creator then. Name that showrunner. I have no idea. Yeah.
All right. Two shows this person created are The A-Team, The Rockford Files.
This is crap. This is the guy pulls the piece of paper out of his typewriter and it goes back and forth and lands on the stack. And his name is Stephen P. Cannell.
I'm going to give you that one.
Oh, come on. I was going to steal it. Still
but you got first and last name.
I got first and last. Yeah, P. He should have been a P. I got P on the mind from that Australian record label.
Damn it.
Couple others that he created. One, Hardcastle and McCormick, which is just a great
classic
title.
Yeah, yeah.
The Commish was one of his.
Oh.
Also, Wise Guy.
Wise Guy. Wise Guy had Jonathan, what's his name, Mike Ehrmantraut in it back when he was young.
Yep.
He played like the handler. He was so good in that.
Oh, he was really good in that. And it also had Jim Burns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, Jump Street.
He was 21 Jump Street.
Really? Okay.
And I did not know this one, 10 Speed and Brown Shoe.
Oh. Well, then Tom Merritt.
Yeah, a show that I never saw, but laughed but about, you know, the name. Of. Yes, yeah, you know, exactly. Because of the name. And it's used as, it's such a great, like, oh, well, he's probably sitting at home watching 10 Speed and Brown Shoe. It's kind of like a, you know, a great diss.
I love Rockford Files, as far as I'm concerned, is where he peaked. I freaking love that show.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Riptide was his too, wasn't it? Wasn't Riptide?
I think so, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
good. No, Rockford Files. Rockford Files was one of my favorites growing up because my dad loved it. I'm actually working on kit bashing a Pontiac Firebird into the Pontiac Esprit model for my dad.
Oh, nice.
Oh, at very his car cool. collection. Wow.
That's nice. Cool.
Because the you can only find the Trans Am model kit. Which is not, Jim Rockford couldn't afford a Trans Am. So I've got to, I'm like having to do a bunch of molding to it. It's taking way too long.
As long as you're not doing any kit bashing with Knight Rider, then that's a whole different thing.
No.
Yeah. No. Be careful there. By the way, so I would put him, I'd put him up there with Glenn Larson. Those two kind of own the 70s and 80s, these two guys. Mm. Like all the shows were made by them.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was those two or Donald Belisario.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Belisario and Quantum Leap and all that stuff. Yeah.
Nope.
Magnum PI.
Yeah.
All right. Round five. Another one. I don't think we've done this category before, but it's going to be a composer for films. So I'm going to give you some titles that they worked on the score for. And I want you to see if you can give me the name.
Okay.
Okay.
My turn.
Scott, we're starting with you.
Three. I'm going to do it in three.
You're going to do it in three?
Yeah.
All right.
This is tough for me. I'm gonna, because I think Scott can get it in three. So I either take two and force Scott to get it in two, my leftovers, or I get it in two.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take two.
You'll take two. All right.
I'll take two. And Scott, you'll get pay attention to these two because you're gonna have to give an answer after I whiff.
No. So, who composed the score for the following movies? Big and Ed Wood.
Oh
shit.
I mean, I feel like, but Big, I don't think was Elfman, but I thought he and Burton had started their relationship. I mean, they started with Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I'm going to say Danny Elfman.
Incorrect. Good guess.
I'm equally surprised by this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, I don't freaking know. I'll just, who do I like? I'm going to say someone I like. Yeah. Well, let me think
say
for a second.
Say someone you like.
Big, that would be like that era for him, although he still does stuff.
I do like some of the guesses in the chat. They're good.
I'll just say Howard Shore. I like him. He's good.
That's correct.
What? Hey, nice
job. It was
total
Howard Shore.
Guess. Total guess, dude. No way.
Howard Shore, who also did the score for Dogma.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. And of course, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings, sure, and all that.
Sure. Yeah, that's crazy. I would have never thought the same guy did Big. That's crazy.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, the Danny Elfman guess makes a lot of sense, right? Because anything Burton, you just assume it's Danny Elfman.
You assume it's Danny Elfman. So that was a good, not red herring, but a good...
I throw you off the scent a little.
Throw me off the scent, yeah.
Right. I didn't, honestly, I would have never, I thought he only worked with Elfman. I didn't think he used anybody else ever. So that was a surprise to me. I thought those two were like tied
Elfman
at the
must
head.
Have been busy with the Oingo Boingo farewell tour or something. Mm.
Yeah. All right. So that puts us at 1-1 after five rounds.
Oh my gosh, we're tied again.
Didn't get the thing ready.
So I've got a sudden death, and this month what we're going to do is I want song titles from Metallica.
Oh, shit.
Going back and forth until one of you can't guess one.
Okay.
And let's see, since Scott had, it's Brian, you start.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
Enter Sandman.
Shit.
Okay.
Nothing else matters.
Okay.
One.
That's good. One. That worked.
Shit. That was the only other one I could think of. Master of Puppets.
There you go.
Title track.
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Correct.
Now all I hear is For Whom the Bell Tolls in my head. For Whom the Bell Tolls. That's all I can hear. All right. Blank. Blank brain. Oh, shit. I just saw him in concert. What's wrong with me? Or not just. It was a couple years ago. We already did Nothing Else Matters. We did. I can't. Oh, the whiskey in the jarro thing. That's not there.
I'll give you that one. You were right at the edge of time there.
Damn it! But, that was the one I had. That was the one I had. Oh, and suppose you take their cover of if you're going to take their cover of Whiskey in the Jar, you take their cover of Stone Cold Crazy by Queen.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool because now I'm all out of covers. Shit for bricks. Oh, bad seed.
Bad seed. Judges, yes, okay. That is correct. Ah,
okay,
crap. That might be it for me. Oh my God! I cannot come up with anything else. It is Scott's,
and the win goes to Scott.
Oh,
well done!
I had
well
one done. More. I was going to say Fuel. I forget because that's a more new God. One. Yep. Fuel
fade that to would black.
Work. Fade to black.
Woman, sad but true. Oh my gosh!
Jeez. Unforgiven Part Two.
Damn, dude, that hurt.
I thought that would.
That actually hurt me, but I got it right.
Good job. Well done. Congratulations, man.
That was a tight done. One. What do I win? Do I get anything?
Yeah, you get bragging rights for this month.
Awesome.
And you pull into a... no, you're now down... it's Brian 2, Scott 1 in terms of the 2024 standings.
So. Okay. So Brian's up right. by one so still. We're going to try to tie that up next month. Yeah.
Yep. Coming back, bringing back into the game.
So yeah, we only have 12 chances, and if Brian gets over six, then he just wins for the year. So
yeah, you don't want to get mathematically eliminated.
Once I get my six, I can sit back for the rest of the year. And
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that one actually. Oh my God. That actually, I got all tight. I actually kind of need to stretch.
Like I've done three or four Metallica cover stories, and all I could think of was the songs everybody covers, which are. One, Enter Sandman, Master of Puppets.
Yeah. So have I ever won before? Since Jinx in the chat says I've never won. Is that true? Is this my first win?
No, you've...
I thought I'd won before, haven't I? Last year.
You had won.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of them where it was close, but like, no, you've won one.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not that bad, Jinx. But this year is a big... It's been... I've really sucked this year. This year's been a rough one. So let's get it... We're getting back on track with a big win today. Travis, tell people where they can find you in the meantime, because you have a cool podcast and stuff.
Yeah. All my stuff is at tvstravis.com. Wonderful site. Bombats helped me put that together. Or any of the social medias as TV's Travis. This week, I'm actually talking to Gary from Lantronics. Senior Geek is coming out.
Oh, nice. No way.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, he got a hold of me because he's never seen The Exorcist. And I was like, well, let's do it. So
cool.
He's
so the power of Christ compelled Gary to watch that finally. Yeah,
finally.
Yep.
I took the power of Christ to get him to
And also, great. I my newest episode was on The Goonies. I got somebody who'd never seen The Goonies before, and we watched that. That comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm one of those people. Never seen The Goonies.
Oh, that's
all
right. You've never seen it either. My buddy Don never saw it, and he just assumed it was garbage and never saw it because of that.
I don't know why I didn't. I was perfect age. I just...
Yeah.
I own it on DVD. I bought it with the intention of watching it. Just never did, so I don't know what happened there. We're going to have to film sack it or some shit. I don't know.
We need to, or couch party it after Firefly or something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, something. It's a great 80s time capsule, and the cast is just nuts. Like, everybody in that cast, you're just like, holy crap. You know, they either...
Kwan and Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget Josh Brolin. Yeah, Josh Brolin. Yeah. That thing. Looking a
it was a lot of like Hollywood royalty, right?
Yeah.
There Sean
was,
Astin, yeah. Patty Duke's son,
yeah,
and then Josh Brolin and Martha Plimpton, who's John Carradine's granddaughter.
Yeah, and Owen doesn't
recently
George
learned.
Plimpton's daughter.
That's yeah. right, and the yeah. Owen doesn't have a friend lady. She's in there, right? Am I thinking of something else?
Yes, no, that's absolutely
yeah.
her.
Yep.
Yeah, and then the weird guy with the weird head that would
Joe Pantoliano is Joey Pants. One of the,
Joey Pants and Robert Davi.
Oh my god!
Yeah, wow.
That's all hits all the time.
And the sloth was played by ex NFL player John Matuszak, and he is
right.
just a mountain of a man.
Yeah. Perfect, he's just huge. Perfect casting for that thing. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He was
baby
great.
Rude.
I need to see it. All right, that Dude, is that is it for that. Thank you, Travis. As always, have a fantastic month. We'll see you next time.
That's right. Thanks, man.
Bye now. All righty, Brian.
Good
we
one.
Have
good
gotten,
one.
Yeah, that was a tight one. Tight race.
Yes.
Feel good about
well done,
it.
Sir.
Let's move on to getting out of here. How about that?
Okay.
In about an hour and a half or so, will there be a brand new live episode of Word on the Street with me and Greg Street and a couple of folks over there at Fantastic Pixel Castle today talking about the back end or the tech or the under the hood of their upcoming MMO. There's a lot of questions about, hey, you guys decided to go with Unreal 5 for your engine. How does that even work with an MMO? That seems crazy. You guys have to rewrite a lot of that? Like, what do you have to do? So if you are tech-minded about anything to do with the gaming business, I think today will be a really interesting episode. That's today at noon, Mountain Time at frogpants.tv. Come check it out. We got two of their lead engineers coming on, and I love talking to those types. So this should be fun.
Nice.
Other than that, Brian, you got anything going on today?
I was a guest on Rishi B's podcast last night.
Mm-hmm.
Oldies Mingle.
Yeah.
I know you're coming up in a week or so,
something like that.
And as soon as that episode is available, I'll link people to it. But basically, went through the music of Lost, the oldies that are plot points on the TV show Lost, and in honor of its 20th anniversary this year, 20th anniversary of Lost, Scott.
Wow. Is that?
Yeah.
How is that even possible? Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about all the shows that kind of influenced and inspired since then, the mystery box style of shows that some failed, some succeeded, Fringe, Leftovers, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Just amazing stuff where you start a mystery and then spend the seasons either confusing people about it or actually answering questions in the case of Leftovers.
Yeah. And didn't BSG have basically the same run? Let's see. Yeah. That, in my memory, those two things are tied. 2004 to 2009. I don't know when Lost ended. Something like that.
I think 2009 or 2010. There was the writer's strike half season where they split the last season into two parts, I think.
I feel like those were my two, like, stop everything that's on TV right now shows. So we would stop everything and watch Lost, and we would stop everything and watch BSG. Those were the only two that got that treatment back then.
Amy, you and I need to talk about that show because I feel like it answered. You'll have to tell me the one question you don't feel like it answered, because it even explained the polar bears. It explained the food drops. It explained purgatory and how these people are all waiting to get in. So you and I'll have a little Lost discussion about that at some point.
And the question is whether she's saying she hasn't forgiven it for wasting her time. The question is, was it because of unanswered questions or did you
it was.
Just not
she
like
says
the answers?
The producers agree. Like they admitted that they came up with mysteries that they didn't have answers for when they came up with them, thinking that they could come up with answers along the way.
Which a lot of writers do. They just don't tell you that out loud.
Right. You know? So, yeah.
A lot
of
them do.
How are we going to get Walter Wyatt out of this whole Hank situation?
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't have to think about it until next season.
They totally do that. In fact, that show admitted that Jesse was supposed to die in the first season.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to be a character after that. So some of that shit, like there's no way they had all that Better Call Saul tie-in stuff figured out by then. So it's okay. It's just that when they say this out loud for a show that is so steeped in mystery, I think that's what people were mostly mad about and less mad about how it actually went. If the show just had happened without any of the peripheral talk, like imagine if the internet was like it is today and Lost was on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What a nightmare.
Oh God. I can't imagine doing any show right now and like any popular TV show right now in the age of the shit posting internet.
It's terrible. Anyway, well, let's get out of here with a little musical number. No, we're not going to perform it. You're going
to
play it.
Oh, crap. I was going to perform it. Are you sure I don't have to?
You don't have to if you don't want to, but you can.
All right. This is where I forgot to pull it. There it is right here. Shoot. Didn't have it in front of me. Hold on a second. This is because this is a request that didn't come from the usual place. By the way, people, make sure you send your cover song requests to... You go to frogpants.com/TMS because otherwise they get lost like this one almost did. Kevin Fisher won on TMS last week or the week before. He was one of our winners for half asses, not being present. And he says, hey, received the prize package last night. It was the Scott and Carter signed prints. He said, it was a bright spot in an otherwise miserable week as my father passed away the day after that episode aired.
It's awful.
I said, oh, my God, man. So sorry to hear that. Can I do anything? Can I play a request for you at least to honor him? He says, yeah, absolutely. If you have an open day on the show, a request would be great. I haven't looked for one, but I'd really like to hear a good cover of Remember Me from my favorite Pixar movie, Coco. It seems like that would be appropriate in this situation. Signed, Kevin. Yeah, his dad, he watched his dad kind of go downhill for 10 years with Parkinson's. But was at least,
damn, dude,
you know, his suffering had stopped. So there was a little bit of relief in that, but obviously always sad to see somebody go.
Yeah.
So going out to Kevin for his father, here is a cover of Remember Me that I haven't played on the show before. This is, by Anapatsu, just beautiful acoustic rendition of the song from Coco. Here is Remember Me.
Though I have to say goodbye, remember me. Don't let it make you cry. For even though I'm far away, I'll hold you in my arms. I'll sing this secret song to you each night. Remember me. Though I have to travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you. The only way that I can be, until you're in my arms again. Remember me.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Drive around a pickup truck with Granny strapped to the back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.